Loving kindness is better than life. I loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, my sweet life bless thee. My loving kindness is better. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness, oh yes, is better than life. Thy lips shall praise thee, thy spirit I bless thee. Thy loving kindness is better. I lift my hands, Lord, I lift my hands, Lord, unto thy name. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I praise thee. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness.
Sister Lydia and family, I thank the Lord as my joints were very painful, but x-ray showed that all is well. And I also thank the Lord that I fell down the other week and the Lord protected me from harm. And they are also thanking the Lord for Tabitha. She doesn't have to wear glasses anymore.
Amen.
Let us pray.
Amen.
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 Our Heavenly Father, Amen. Once more, Lord, we are most thankful, Father,
Hallelujah.
That, Lord, our doors to this house Hallelujah. Have opened another opportunity where we would come before you, Lord, to sing songs of joy and peace. Father, to sing songs that uplift our spirits, Lord, even to give thanksgiving, Lord. Father, we thank you for the things that you continue to do in the lives of your people. Lord, if we could all stand to give a testimony tonight, Father, the morning would come before we are even halfway through. We thank you, Father, that you do all these things. And we want to ask, Lord, tonight thy forgiveness, Lord, upon our unfaithfulness. For, Lord, many times you do such wonderful and mighty things, and we never come back to say thank you. But, Lord, we want to commit, Lord, Father, our sister's family into your hands. for she has become the one leper that remembered to come to the Lord to say thank you. Lord, we are also thankful tonight that you have kept us over the week, Lord. Even the youths that had gone away over the weekend, you brought them back safely, oh God. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the facilities that we have to use here, Lord. Even though the Philistines are making their boast, Lord, threatening us with threatenings, Lord, to kick us out. But Father, we bring the issue before you tonight, and we ask, Lord, that you come and be the faithful judge in this matter. For Lord, we are only trying to serve you. We are doing the very best we can, Lord, to be good neighbors with our co-tenant. But Father, no matter what we do, it does not satisfy them, Lord. So we ask, Father, that you come and you be the faithful judge and that you help us, Lord. Perhaps, Lord, our welcome is over at this place and that you want us to be somewhere else, Lord. But Father, in my heart, you know, Lord, I'm just desiring that you come and be the one that would make this matter, Lord, Father, to be right, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name, even as we commit the service tonight into your hands. I pray, Lord, that you be with your people that are here tonight. Father, be with those that are not here also. Father, how we long to be with them tonight to worship you, Lord. But help us, Father, that, Lord, our worship may be so acceptable before thee, despite the numbers, Lord. Let it be such a thing before your presence tonight that when we leave this place, Lord, Father, our hearts will be burning, for you would have spoken to us, Lord. Bless the minister, use him and anoint him, Lord. Father, that, Lord, we may come before you molded the right way that you want us, Father. We commit the service into your hands. Bless our brother George as he leads us in song. Anoint him mightily, Lord, to pass through the heart of every person that is not prepared for worship tonight. Lord, lead him to a song that would uplift someone and help someone and strengthen someone, Lord. That, Father, when we leave, we would see that the doings that you have done tonight are good and are wonderful. We thank you, Father, as we commit this service into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing that song, What a Fellowship. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The saints, pray for me. I wasn't late on purpose, but I think we need an underground tunnel. Because it's impossible to come on time on Wednesdays, especially if it's raining. The traffic was so bad. So just keep us in prayer. If we move this side, maybe the church will move, so we don't know. So, just keep us in. Let's sing that Leaning on the Ever.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a might, grace, what a peace is mine. Yeah.
that song, Bringing in the Sheaves, key A. Amen. Keep us in prayer tomorrow. As the other day, I think the pastor mentioned, Sister Pauline was speaking of one lady in Carlo who was supposed to be the pioneer of Christianity and all those things. So I asked to meet that lady and they said, no, it's not possible. So the other day, the son of that lady said, please, can you bring your guitar? And let's have the same fellowship we had last week. My mother's not feeling well, so it was quite an opportunity. I thought, wow, the Lord just presented it itself. So if the saints can keep us in prayer, because we had quite a good time the previous week and the past few weeks have been good. So tomorrow there'll be quite a few people and it's very, very good opportunity. If the saints can just keep us in prayer, that's all we request. Springing in the Sheaves. Sowing. Let's sing that song, I Believe a Good Report. Hallelujah to the King. Amen. I believe the good report. Sorry. I believe the good report. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Across the porter court. Oh, glory be to God. I am all on Jesus' side. On the altar sanctified, to the world of sin I've died. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. If master remain fair, where his glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. Oh, God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
presence of the King. Last verse.
In the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. I am past the inner veil. Oh, glory be to God. I am sanctified to God by the power of the Lamb. The Lord is my abode. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
The riven veil, amen. Because the veil have been rent, amen. When he died upon the cross, he opened the way, amen. So we are living now in the presence of the King, amen. So if you have not entered yet, just be aware that the veil has been rent, amen. So don't stay there anymore. The access is open to you, and you can come and rejoice in the presence of the Lord, amen. We praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening once again for bringing us back in your house, O Lord. After a blessed weekend, O Lord, where we have seen you acting in our midst, O Lord. We have seen your blessings upon us. We are back once again. To minister for your glory. Bless your people after their in and out, O Lord, after being at work at different places. It's now like a standard in our setup, O Lord, that we have to come to your presence to fellowship with you and to fellowship with one another, to renew our resources, O Lord, so that we can face the enemy and be victorious, O Lord. Bless your people now. After singing, O Lord, we know that you abide in the midst of the glories, O Lord. After singing, we know that you are more than able to bless us and to grant us the desire of our hearts, O Lord. Heavenly Father, those who are sick, heal them, O Lord. Those who didn't make it tonight, O Lord, we don't know the reasons, but you know. And you can touch them where they are. Our brethren, we are streaming, O Lord, around the world now, O Lord. Grant them the same blessing, O Lord. We commit now this service into your hand. Take the leadership. Take possession of our mouths, O Lord. We don't want to speak from our own, but we want to speak from you, O Lord. Speak to your people, and you know their desires. As we open up your word, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Welcome back, brethren from Switzerland, Brother Max Jr., Sister Narcissa, and the two sisters. Sorry, your names? Sister Lilia and Sister Jessie. God bless you. Who else, Feli? No. God bless you. Welcome back. It was a big blessing here. We know you didn't miss anything because we believe it was a blessing on the other side as well. Amen. And may God bless you. So we will finish our sermon on Sunday because we couldn't finish it. There's just a little part that we want to complete. The Prince of Reconciliation. We started it on Sunday and we believe God spoke to his people. We just want to go a bit further. So let's open our Bibles in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 53. And then 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 to 17. Let's read. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Amen. Amen. Then, 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 to 17. The Bible says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. So we are still celebrating the Passover week. We are still in the mood of Passover. Amen. So we still want to speak about Passover because I believe, and we all believe, that Passover was one of the climax of the first coming of the Lord, if not the highest point, if not the culmination of the first coming of the Lord. Amen. Because, as I always say, the first coming of the Lord was not a 24-hour event. Amen. The first coming of the Lord was a time lapse. The first coming of the Lord was a period during which God was fulfilling all the promises that were attached to that coming. Amen. So Jesus dying on the cross was the climax, the culmination, the highest point of the first coming of the Lord. But Jesus, from his birth to his going up to heaven, all those events that were happening during that time frame, it was the first coming of the Lord. That's why Simeon, in the temple, when he carried the baby Jesus, the blood was not shed yet. Jesus didn't die upon the cross yet. But for Simeon, the first coming of the Lord was complete. Amen. He could say, let me go and rest in peace because I have seen your salvation. Amen. The blood has not been shed yet. For Peter and Philip or whoever, they were still, I don't know, doing their business. They didn't even know that the Lord had come yet. Amen. While he was already on the scene, Simeon saw him. The shepherds saw him and they said, today the Messiah has come. But in the meantime, Peter and Paul and all the other apostles that we know, for them it was not opened up yet. The mystery was not opened up for them yet. The first coming of the Lord was complete for Simeon, for the shepherd, for Hannah, but for some, it was still an event to come. So at that time, if you asked Simeon, has the Lord come? Simeon would say, yes, the Lord has come. If you go and find Simon Peter and ask him, did the Lord come yet? He'll say, no, the Lord has not come yet. Why? Because it was a succession of events. That's why when he was entering Jerusalem, it was a fulfillment of one of the promises of the first coming of the Lord. Amen. When he was healing the sick, when he was doing all the miracles, when he was being baptized by John the Baptist, it was the first coming of the Lord. So don't put the first coming of the Lord as an isolated event. It was a time frame during which something was happening. When he died up on the cross, for the thief on the cross, he saw the first coming of the Lord that day. While he was living in Palestine, walking with the Lord, maybe the same streets, sometimes they could have crossed in the street, but he couldn't know that it was the coming of the Lord. Amen. He didn't know that he was living the coming of the Lord until it was revealed to him. Him saw it at the cross. Some people saw it a few years before. Pilate saw the first coming of the Lord, but failed to recognize it. Amen. The other thief on the left-hand side, he had the same opportunity as his workmate or whatever, to see the coming of the Lord, but he failed to see it. Amen. So that's why we need to keep our mind open. We have not that Pentecostal faith where they just believe we are waiting for the coming of the Lord, and they put it as a 24-hour event. The prophet is showing us in the message that these things happened in the first coming of the Lord, and don't expect the second coming of the Lord to be a 24-hour event, because it's a succession of fulfillment of promises of the Lord in the Bible. Amen. So, the first, we are talking about the crucifixion. We are talking about the resurrection of the Lord, which was the climax of the first coming of the Lord, but which was not on its own resuming or summarizing the first coming of the Lord. Because he was to die on the cross, he was to be born first in Bethlehem. If he wasn't born in Bethlehem, he couldn't die on the cross. So you have to take them all together to make the first coming of the Lord. Amen. So we are seeing, for those who are not there, that in the Pontius Pilate court, when Pontius Pilate was judging Jesus Christ, it happened something unnatural, something unusual for the setup of the society that time in Palestine, in the Holy Land. The land was so divided, they were so against each other that they couldn't come to a consensus the way they did it to condemn Jesus Christ. Because the society was made up of many different people. There were the Romans, who were the occupant power. They were not, they couldn't get along with the Jewish themselves, the landowners, because they took them as occupants, as a foreigners. So they were always in disagreement with each other. On the other end, on the Jewish side, we had the Pharisees, we had the Sadducees, we have the Herodians. They were constantly against each other. They couldn't agree on anything. We had armed bands, we have rebellion groups, they were fighting each other. We had the leadership was against the people. So the society was so divided in a point that they couldn't reach a consensus in any point. But to condemn Jesus Christ, all of them, they put the differences aside. Amen. They came to a reconciliation. All the powers of darkness came to a reconciliation to reach that death sentence to put Jesus to death. Amen. Amen. They put the differences aside. That's why we're talking about the Prince of Reconciliation. Because he had reconciled us with God. But on the other hand, the powers of darkness also had to reconcile for them to reject the world. And the prophet says, the same thing is happening in these last days. They are crucifying Christ for the second time. The churches and the world powers are coming up together to crucify Christ. So a big reconciliation is going to happen, is happening again, to put Jesus to death again for the second time. But while they were doing that in the first coming of the Lord, On the other end, the very thing they thought would put an end to God's plan, it produced an unexpected result. Jesus, the Lord, the Word, united, God united itself with his people, and it produced a rapture. Amen. After they put him to death, after the powers of darkness reconciled, came all together to put the world to death, the very thing they did produced resurrection of the dead and a rapture. Amen. So we are in the same promise. We are living in this, that same period. What they did over there to reject the word, they will reject the word today. But that squeeze, that rejection of the word, all the powers of darkness, while they are uniting their forces, God is uniting his bride on the other end. Amen. Amen. The Lord is uniting his bride for a rapture. Amen. So that's what he said. We read it in the Uniting Time and Sign. God is uniting his bride. She is coming together from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. There is a uniting time, and that's on right now. What is she uniting for? He says, for the rapture. Amen. So he is uniting his people. The same, the very thing they are doing, trusting that it's going to end up, the God's plan for his people, is the very thing that will bring the bride together and they'll be united for the rapture. Amen. So God is uniting his people, not only for the sake of uniting them, but to provide the resources they need for the rapture. Amen. Because the prophet is introducing a concept in the message of rapturing faith. Amen. Because it's not to be taken into rapture, it doesn't take an ordinary faith. It takes the rapturing faith. And God knows that to get the, because the prophet says, now to get only for divine healing, we have not even enough faith to produce a divine healing. We have not enough faith to bring someone who has a broken leg to walk. How will we get that faith that will change the whole body? Amen. 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 It's something special. It's a special faith. So to get to that point of changing not only our body, but the sleeping saints as well. Amen. Because they are not made perfect without us. So for that, God has to provide some special resources. Those special resources will bring us, will give us that special faith, that super faith that will produce the rapture. Not only the rapture, but also the resurrection of the dead. Amen. So God is uniting us. We need now, we are looking forward to a body change. Amen. Amen. So if we are looking forward to a body change, the prophet brings us now to a pattern. He showed us, because God, what he's doing to his bride, he has typed it in the Old Testament by the saints of the Old Testament to show us that our body change that we are expecting, it happened in the past. He says, we are the royal seed of Abraham. What happened to Abraham of old, that's the same thing that God will produce for the royal seed of Abraham. Amen. Because we are expecting a body change. Let's see now, how did God operate a body change in Abraham? Amen. Because if we have to go into the rapture, you won't go into rapture with this body. Amen. No matter how beautiful it looks. Amen. Amen. No matter how pretty, it has to put on incorruptibility. Because it's a corruptible body. Amen. Amen. So a change must take place. That's what the prophet says in Jehovah Jireh, 1962. Before they could receive the royal seed, there had to be a miracle happen to both Abraham and Sarah. Physically, before there could be a royal seed. Now, Abraham's body was as good as dead. The Bible says that. And Sarah's womb was dead. Now there had to be some physical something take place before the world seed could have, before the seed could appear. Before that promised son could appear, there had to be some physical something take place in their body before the appearing of the promised son. Amen. So they were expecting a son to come. Because the prophet is showing us that we are the royal seed of Abraham. What Abraham experienced in the physical, we have to experience it in the spiritual, in its fullness. Amen. So before the promised son comes, God is showing us that, the prophet is showing us that, Abraham and Sarah, they were dead already. They were too old to conceive. But something physical must have changed. Because the prophet says, there was a time when they were young. They were 25, 31, something. There was that time, but they couldn't conceive. So something must have, God had to do something, not only to renew their youth, but to produce an inner change in them. Because bringing them back to their youth would be the same thing as they were youth before. They didn't produce a child. But they had to be changed to their youth, and also an inner change had to happen for their cells to be able to produce a child. Amen. So something supernatural had to happen. And for that to happen, it took the Son of Man. Amen. It took the Son of Man to come on the scene. That the super scene, the super sign that the prophet is talking about, that the thing that produced the change in Abraham and Sarah. Because Abraham, he sought God in light, the prophet says. Let me read it. Abraham seen all kinds of things God did for him along the way. Sure. But here comes the last sign, just before the promised son comes. And now the royal seed is looking for a promised son. And we are looking for a promised son, the Son of God, to return. So the last sign that will be shown to the bride before the son returns will be the last sign that Abraham saw, the Son of Man. Amen. He said, the royal seed is looking for the promised son as well. And the seed is watching for the coming son, the coming of the Lord. And what do you see just before the coming of the Lord? What takes place? God comes down in our midst, show the royal seed like he did to Abraham's seed. Amen. So it took the Son of Man. What happened exactly? The prophet says, Abraham, after being called by God, he knew God's voice. He could hear God. He could recognize the presence of God. But it happened once, he saw him physically, but it was in a theophany. That was Melchizedek. Amen. That's another sermon. But in Genesis 18, the prophet says, Abraham saw three people coming. And those people were looking like ordinary people. They were dressed, everything, like normal people of that time. But Abraham, being a prophet, he called one of them Elohim. Amen. He called one of them Elohim. And they came, he received them, he welcomed them. They ate, they drank, everything. And at some stage, that person that Abraham was calling Elohim, let's read it, Genesis 18. Because we are in the process of a body change. But before the body change could happen, the prophet is showing us that God had to do something. God has to come in a certain manifestation and operate something, and that something produced the body change. Genesis 18, I think, verse 17. While they were eating, verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the things which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nation of earth shall be blessed with him. Amen. While they were eating, God had some secrets in his heart. Amen. God had something hidden in his mind. He had come, Abraham has received him, they've eaten everything, but he knew that something must happen in Abraham because I've promised him something, a rapture. I've promised him a body change before the rapture can happen, because before the promised son can come on the scene. But for that to happen, God had to reveal some of his secrets to Abraham. Amen. He came especially to reveal, because he could have appeared to him in a different way as he did before. But this time he knew it took a special faith to bring a body change. So he had to come as the Son of Man, God veiled in a flesh, to come and reveal hidden things to Abraham. Amen. He had to come and to reveal things that were not written. Amen. There were hidden mysteries in God's mind, and God had to come now and say, shall I hide to Abraham things that are to happen? Remember, we are talking about our rapture. We are going, even when we are talking about Abraham, put yourself on that scene, because you are the royal seed of Abraham. What God did in tithes to Abraham, that is what is going to do in its fullness to all of us. So God came down as the Son of Man, God in a human body, God in a flesh. He came and ate and drank and spoke to Abraham. Abraham could touch him. Amen. And God said, I need to reveal hidden things to Abraham. Because he knew for Abraham to get that body change that he was looking forward, he has to reveal mysteries to Abraham. Those hidden mysteries were the things that will produce that faith of change in Abraham. That faith that will change Abraham's body. Amen. So, now, who was that man that Abraham met? Amen. Because sometimes we need to be very careful. These things, sometimes I'm very prudent when I'm talking about them. I remember a few years back home, I was preaching it to, not really preaching, sharing with a few friends, brethren, and some of them ended up believing that I believe that Brother Branham is Jesus Christ. Amen. So you need to be very careful, because the message we have, we don't have to be afraid of the message. We have to take the word in its fullness and just be balanced. Because we don't have to be afraid. You know, in the Old Testament, the glory was in the temple. Amen. And Jerusalem was surrounded with fences. And as you know the law in the Old Testament, there were the lepers. Anyone who was leper was put outside the city, outside the gates of the city. Amen. So someone who was coming outside the city to enter, to go and see the glory, he had to meet the lepers first. Don't be afraid to enter the glory because of the lepers. Amen. If you just came at the gate and saw the lepers, you'll return and say, no. There's no glory there. There's only lepers. But this is your possession. Don't be afraid of the lepers. Go beyond the veil and just take the word as it is revealed by the prophet in this age. Don't be afraid of the giants in the country. Amen. So we are going to look at that man. Who was he? Amen. Because we need to apply it to what happened today. The prophet says, that body, that man that met Abraham, it wasn't Jesus Christ. Amen. Though Abraham called him my Lord, Abraham called him Elohim, but that body was not the body of Jesus Christ. Because in that body, God couldn't die for us. Amen. Let's read the prophet. Amen. And watch now. Watch how Abraham came up through his sign and things. And the last time that so done by God was God himself. But God himself was manifested in a human being and ate and drink. Amen. It was God himself manifested in a human being. But the prophet said, some man said to me one time, a minister, Brother Fox, he said, Brother Branham, do you mean to tell me you think that one that ate was God? That man stood there eating that calf and eating cornbread and the milk. Do you think that was God? I said, certainly. Abraham said it was. He was the one talked to him. He ought to know it. He said he was Elohim. Amen. Are you with me? My God, what did he do? You know, we are made out of 16 different elements of earth. Potash, petroleum, cosmic light, and what more? He just reached over and got a handful of atoms and cosmic light and petroleum, and he blew in it and said, step into it, Gabriel. Amen. And made one to step into himself. That's our God. So he took the same element that make up my body and your body. He made up a body, one for Gabriel, one for Michael, and one for himself. And he entered in. Amen?
Amen.
Was that body Jesus Christ? No. Why? Because Jesus Christ was not made up of the same element of you and me.
Amen.
That's why the earth couldn't keep him.
Amen.
Amen. That body was not Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
But God was veiled into that body.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The prophet says, and when he gave his message to Abraham, he vanished. He turned right back to God again.
Amen.
All the atoms and things just broke up. Like a fire breaks up the ashes and chemicals in the wood, or coal, or whatever you are burning. Turn back to the unseen. I'm so glad my father liked that. Amen. So that body, it was not the body of Jesus Christ. That body was not God. But God was into that body. God was in the body. Amen. So after he has completed the mission, the prophet says he went back to the ashes of the earth. Amen. That was not the body of Jesus Christ. That body couldn't die for you and me. Because to die for you and me, Jesus had to come by a woman. That's the law of redemption. And God, in that body, he just used it to come and meet Abraham and break something, reveal something to Abraham, and after he has finished, the body go back to the ashes.
Yeah.
Amen. We are promised the same thing to happen today. Luke 17:30. As it was in the days of Sodom,
Amen.
The same Son of Man who was manifested on the days of Sodom will be manifested today.
Amen.
Amen. The Son of Man will be manifested. God will walk on earth in a human flesh as he did in Abraham. But that body is not God. Amen. That's the very where we need to be very, very careful. Because many have gone on one side, many have gone on the other side, but the way is in the middle. The Son of Man in this day has been revealed, showing the same super sign that he showed to Abraham. I have no time to read everything. The prophet says, the discerning of thoughts. That was the super sign he showed to Abraham and Sarah. Who is the great unseen? Who is this great unseen person in the unveiling of God, the prophet says? Who is this that Abraham seen in visions? Right at last, true, though he was manifested in flesh before the sun came, God himself came to Abraham in the form of a man at the end time. Manifested. He saw him in a little light one time. He saw him in visions. He heard his voice, many revelations. But just before the promised son, he saw him in the form of a man. And that was to produce the body change. If you are expecting a body change, if you are expecting a rapture today, my brother, God is not a showmaker. The prophet was not there standing at the pulpit and turning his back to the just to make a show. God was showing to us the royal seed of Abraham, that the same thing that changed Abraham, the same Son of Man that visited Abraham has come today to visit us. Amen. Amen. The same ministry that came to change Abraham's body, we are expecting a body change as the royal seed of Abraham. That's why the Son of Man had to be manifested again today. Amen. Amen. That's why the prophet had to turn his back. He was not making a show. He was not just trying to please people. But every time the prophet would say, remember what happened. The same angel is here. Abraham, when before the sun came, Abraham, I will turn my back to prove you that the same Son of Man is here today. Who is the Son of Man? Is not Brother Branham. Amen. The Son of Man was that angel of the Lord. Amen. Amen. The body is just ashes. Amen. The body is just ashes and it has to return back to ashes. But the ministry, the manifestation of the Son of Man has been shown today. Because we are expecting something to happen. Amen. So, we just need to be very balanced. I know these things, they are very slippery. They are very slippery. I know many ministers that have gone very far. Because my brother, my sister, honestly, what God has done today, if you don't have the grace of God, you will call that man God. Because God has shown himself in the way he has not shown in any man since Jesus Christ. Amen. So if God doesn't grant you his grace, and seeing what happened, you may just say, this is him. But you must be able to make the difference. What Abraham called my Lord was not that body. Abraham, being a prophet, he knew the Lord was in that body. And after he has finished the work, as the prophet says, ashes to ashes, and the Lord back to glory. Amen. So that's what's happening in this big union now. We are there experiencing the Son of Man. We are there because the Son of Man who came to break something to us. There are things that only him, it took only himself to come and reveal it to us. It took at that time, in the time of Abraham, it took only him, the Son of Man. He couldn't send Gabriel. He couldn't send Michael. He couldn't send any prophet. It took him to come down. And today, to produce that rapturing faith, it takes the Son of Man to come to manifest himself again. Because for the rapture to take place, we are the royal seed of Abraham. The Son of Man must be manifested in our age. Amen. And what does the Son of Man come to do? He comes to reveal mysteries. Amen. He comes to reveal secrets. He came to Abraham to reveal secrets. And after his leaving, there was a body change. After his leaving, there was a resurrection. Amen. After his leaving, there was a rapture. If we have to go into a resurrection, if we have to call the dead to resurrection and ourselves to go into the rapture, the Son of Man must come, not only come, but to reveal mysteries.
Amen.
Amen. That's why to get that rapture in faith, God had to reveal some big mysteries in this high age. That's why we are talking about the union of the bride, the reconciliation. While the powers of darkness are reconciling, the powers of light are reconciling again. God is bringing us all together, and God is providing the resources that you need, that I need, to produce that rapture in faith. What are they? The prophet says. And I want you to get it. This is in spiritual food in due season. And I want you to get built up now. These holy oracles of God in the faith is of this hour, the faith. It's going to take more than faith than ever was in any age for this has to be rapturing faith to be taken up. Amen. It's going to take more faith in this age. It must be the rapturing faith. That's why we are gathered together. That's why his resurrection brought us together to be given resources that will produce in us this rapturing faith. The prophet says, once again, Jehovah Jireh, 1964. Now, I may not have faith enough to make every word of it act, but I certainly wouldn't stand in anybody's way that did have that faith. Enoch had faith enough one day to take an afternoon stroll with God and just kept on walking, went up home without dying.
Amen.
Now I think the church has got to come to that, to a rapturing faith.
Amen.
I may not have that faith just now, but I sure wouldn't stand in the way of somebody that did have that faith. Amen.
Amen.
We need all of us to have that rapturing faith.
Amen.
You won't go into rapture if your faith doesn't get to that point, to that level. My brother, just to heal your headache, you can't pronounce a word. Just, I don't know, anything your child is sick, you can't. So you believe that you'll bring this body to overcome gravity and go. You need more than what we have now.
Amen.
And for that, God had made provisions. What are they? He said, there is something in God's special ammunition warehouse. There is some special weapon that you'll deploy to bring into you and me that special faith.
Amen.
And it's not something special. Amen. It's not something that we have to go into big colleges to study about. Or, I don't know, fast or whatever. It's something simple.
Amen.
Because you are Abraham's royal seed, God will make these provisions available to you. It's only up to you to reach out and take them and clothe yourself up. Amen. It doesn't take, I don't know, rocket science to understand these things. God has some provisions, and we are going to see them. He says, and I don't know, I'm only honest. This is in the, is this the sign of the answer? 62. I'm only honest with you as my brothers. I don't know. Is it time? The mystery all finished? Has the sounding all over? Is that really them seven thunders fixed to utter out something that this little group that is gathered together will receive the rapturing faith? Amen. This is 1962. The seals have not been opened yet. These are the visions that were leading to the seals. If you have read them, you have read it. Sir, is it time, sir? is still questioning because he saw a vision, he saw a blast, he saw something, angels coming, the birds coming. And one brother after the other came with dreams. He saw this, he saw a pyramid, he had to cap the stone, he had to remove, there was a white stone, nothing written. So he was just trying to question himself. What was it? What is it? And one of the questions, he said, is that really them seven thunders fixing to utter out something that the little group that is gathered together will receive a rapturing fate to go in the rapture when it comes? For will be changed as quick as those angels came, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and shall be caught up together with those that are asleep to meet the Lord in the air. So he's still on a questioning stage. Will those seven thunders, are they the thing that will produce the rapturing faith? I'm not going to answer. Let the prophet answer. Amen? He says, in the same sermon, he says, and at the end of the Pentecostal age, we are supposed to receive, according to the word, as God helped me tonight to show you, through here, that we are to see, receive a messenger that will take all those loose ends out there and reveal the whole secrets of God for the rapturing of the church. Amen. So he's questioning, will the seven thunders bring the rapturing faith? But here he adds something up onto that. He says, the seventh messenger will reveal all the loose ends, and all this mystery revealed will give to the church the rapturing faith. Amen. And then there is coming forth seven mysterious thunders that not even written at all. That's right. And I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last day. This is in the first seal. Now, this is when the seal start now to be revealed. Amen. 62, it was still a vision. Now it's the fulfillment. After he has met the angels, after he has been in the cloud, amen, he comes down. Now he's preaching the first seal. And he said, and then there is coming forth seven mysterious thunders that not even written at all. That's right. And I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Amen. Amen. So the provision is there. The provision is there. We are gathered. God is bringing all the resources you need for your body change. Amen. For our going home. And for that going home to happen, we have seen one condition first. The Son of Man has to be manifested. Amen. And the Son of Man had been manifested. And the Son of Man didn't come just to be seen by us. But the Son of Man came as he came to Abraham to reveal some hidden things. Some things that were not written somewhere. It was in God's mind himself. When he came to Abraham, that thing of going to destroy Sodom or whatever. Sarah is going to have a child. It was not written. It was in God's mind. And the royal seed of Abraham, we are promised in this day to see the same thing happening again. God will come to manifest the Son of Man. And after manifesting the Son of Man, he will reveal to you and me the hidden thing, the hidden mysteries that will produce, that will give you that rapturing faith. So your body change, the secret of your going home, believe the word. Amen. It's not something complicated. God has made provision. That's why God has opened up all the mysteries today. Things that were hidden in his mind. Things that were not written. And as the bride, you are in a position Amen. God has shown in many types in the Bible that as the bride of Christ, you have not to invent anything. The provisions, there is types and shadows in the Old Testament. We just go and read the shadows and see the revelation. And walk, pray God to help you through those shadows to reflect what the bride must be. Amen. God, the bride doesn't need to start doubting the word. Rebecca was there. She didn't know Isaac. Amen. That's one of the types that God showed us in the Old Testament. She was there. She didn't know Isaac. She never met Isaac. But Rebecca was ready to understand. Rebecca received the revelation of written and unwritten things.
Amen.
Amen. How? Eliezer came. He prayed God. When Eliezer was praying, Rebecca was not there. Amen. Amen.
Yes,
Rebecca was not there. Eliezer said, the girl that will give me water and give the camels, that's she. Rebecca was not there. And it was not written anywhere. But when Eliezer came to the well, he asked for water. Rebecca got the revelation of the written and the unwritten. Amen. Nobody told Rebecca that you have to give water to this man and to the camels. But she received the revelation. Amen. She got the revelation of the things that happened in secret, in Eliezer's secret prayer, things that were not written, but those same things that were not written, but that were revealed to Rebecca, that gave power to the camels to bring her home. Amen. The bride today has got into God's mind. God has come to reveal the Son of Man. God has come to make the provisions to you, the bride. God has opened up his mind so that you can enter in and understand things that were not written in the past. Things that were not revealed in the past. Things that were sealed in the Bible. Rebecca entered into Eliezer's mind to understand that for me to go and meet the bridegroom, I need to get the revelation of what I've been told. Give me some water. And what is not written, give to the camels. Amen. And when she got that revelation, she went and gave the water to the camels. It gave the camels the power. She provided for her way to go home herself. That's why the Bible says the bride has made herself ready. It's not someone else who is going to make provision for you to go home. It was Rebecca who fed the camels. It was Rebecca who gave water to the camels. And the same camels, Rebecca jumped on the camels. They brought her home.
Amen.
Amen. So the bride today, God has made provisions. God has opened the fullness of the world to you and me. Because he wants, his will is that you get to that rapturing faith. What time did we start? We started a bit late today, isn't it? No? We started on time? Okay. Okay. All right. God bless you. Seems like time is flying. So. Amen. God bless you. So, God made those provisions. The seventh, he says, and there is coming forth the seven mysterious thunders. that's not even written at all. And I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last day in the order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Now, the bride is gathered together. The bride, God has revealed. God has brought the bride together for her to receive what she needs, the garments she needs, the preparations she needs for her to get the body changed, for her to go into the rapture. But it's sad to say that many times we are negligent. Yes. We are negligent, many times, not only negligent, but the bride sometimes, she's afraid to take possession of her, what belongs to her. Amen. The bride is afraid of her birthright. It's like Israel in the desert. The land was theirs. God had promised, not to Moses, not to the previous generation. He had promised from Abraham. Generation after generation, God kept that promise that this land belongs to you. You will go. After 400 years, you'll come and worship me here. But Israel, they were afraid of the giants. Though God made provisions of milk and honey and everything they needed to go and possess the land. They've seen the hand of God defeating Pharaoh. They've seen the hand of God defeating army after army. But when it came to Kadesh Barnea, they doubted the promise of God. They doubted that the God who has made provisions for us from the day we left Egypt up to this point, they forgot that that God is more than able. Who are the son of Anak compared to the Pharaoh's armies and all those things that perished in the sea? They forgot. Not only that, but they put doubt. They became unbeliever to the word of God. That the main thing, that the sickness, the disease of the bride today. We fail to go. We fail to step in and take possession of our land. We fail. We are afraid of the giants. We are afraid of lepers. Don't be afraid. It's your promise. Because in it lay the provisions, the resources that will bring us home. Let's not be afraid of going forward and taking possession. Because God has provided for us today. God has opened his way. God has opened his way to us. Now, we are still talking about those provisions, that rapturing faith, because the prophet says that we need the rapturing faith. God will do something that will produce in us the rapturing faith. And he has said there, God will, the mysteries contained in those seven thunders will bring us to get to that point where we'll get the faith. Now he's saying, now see, this is in the bridge between, I'm going to read it from here. I think it's the bridge between the seven church ages and the seals. The prophet says, the seven seals book is revealed at the time of the seven thunders of Revelation 10. Because when the prophet was reading the bridge, when he was preaching the bridge, he started by reading Revelation 10 from 1 to 7. And in his reading, he saw Revelation 10, I saw a mighty angel coming down with an open book. He's talking now about that book, that open book in the hand of the mighty angel. He says, this seven seals book is revealed is revealed at the time of the seven thunders of Revelation 10. Now, if you are marking it down, let's turn into Revelation 10. Just a moment. You'll get an understanding before we get into it. Start reading. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and rainbow upon his head. If you notice, that Christ, see, he in the Old Testament was called the Angel of Covenant. That's Revelation 10:1. He keeps on reading. And his face, as it were the sun, and his feet as pillar of fire. You remember that angel in Revelation 1, same thing. Angel is a messenger. And he is the messenger to Israel. The church has been raptured or is fixing to be raptured. He's coming for his church. Now watch. It keeps on going. Let me just go straight to... Now he says, watch here in a verse I want to get to. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servant the prophet. Amen. That's Revelation 10:7. Now the prophet says, remember before he said, the mystery of the book will be revealed at the time of the seven thunders of Revelation 10. Now he says, now see, the mystery of the seven seal book will be revealed at the sounding of the seven church angels' message. Amen. So, it will be revealed, first he says, at the time of the seven thunders of Revelation 10. Now he adds something up to say, it will be revealed when the seventh messenger to the seventh church age will sound his trumpet. Amen. So the seventh church messenger, his message, is the message that will bring all the package that the bride need to get to know the mind of Christ. The seventh church messenger, because it is message that will bring the end, that will put an end to the mysteries of the Bible. It will be this message that will produce, that will bring, put an end to everything that was not revealed in the past. So, God, knowing that, he has provided that these mysteries has not to be revealed by a man. Remember, in Abraham's time, it was not a man that revealed the mystery. That's why we introduced at the beginning about the ministry of the Son of Man in this age. It was not Brother Branham that had to reveal the mysteries. To get to the things that were hidden in the mind of God, it took God himself to come and speak to Abraham and produce the result it produced. In our age, that's why the Son of Man had to come. That's why Revelation 10:1 speaks about the mighty angel who is Jesus Christ. The seven thunders are not revealed by a man. They are revealed by the mighty angels of Revelation 1, who is Jesus Christ himself. So he's coming down, and through the message, that's why when the prophet preached the bridge, it's making a difference between the angels of the angel of Revelation 1, Revelation 10:1, and Revelation 10:7. There are two different angels. The angel of Revelation 10:7 is the messenger to the seventh church age, who is Brother Branham. But the angel of Revelation 10:1 is the messenger of the covenant, who is Jesus Christ himself, the Son of Man, who is coming to meet a Son of Man. Amen. There's a difference between the Son of Man and a Son of Man. The Son of Man is coming from heaven to reveal the mystery through a Son of Man. Amen. That's why the super sign that has been shown to Abraham has been shown to Abraham's seed today. The Son of Man has been manifested through a Son of Man. The Son of Man has been revealed. A Son of Man today revealed the Son of Man. Don't take a Son of Man, don't take a prophet for the Son of Man himself. But you have to see, like Abraham, Abraham didn't worship that flesh. Abraham didn't call that flesh Lord. The flesh, the body was only veiling the Son of Man. Amen. God willing, in the next coming sermons, we are going to explain more about this topic, because we need to, these are our possessions. We need to dig into them. We need to eat the word. Amen. We need to eat it. We need to understand, because this in them is the rapturing faith. In them is the rapturing faith. And as we were talking in the last few sermons, there's no life as long as the word has not been made flesh. And the word made flesh, these are the things that part of the word made flesh today. God has fulfilled his word today, and we have to go and eat the word. Eat the word, get ourselves soaked into the word, so that God's will is that you and me, you become the word. You will be so united with the word. As I was saying on Sunday, the dead in Christ, the saints of old, they became so one with Christ after the 3 days he spent there, so that when he came out of the tomb, he couldn't come without them. Amen. He couldn't come out of the tomb without them, because they had united. They had become one. And the prophet Samuel is showing it as the big magnet. You have to be magnetized, so that when the headstone will show up, you'll be magnetized with him. You'll become one with him, so that when he calls up, you'll be caught up with him. The things, the very things that will produce that in you, these are the things we are talking about here. The manifestation of the Son of Man. The revelation of the mysteries. Amen. I think we need to keep it there. And I believe that God, in his mercy, it's not an easy topic, I know, but God is in his mercy will grant us, will give us a spiritual understanding to get into these things with prayer, with commitment, surrender to him. I believe that God will help us to keep the balance. Because I've seen people who, they didn't know about these things. You go and tell them, show them. They come, they go even very far in the extreme. They start saying that you that showed them, you don't know anything. They got more revelations than you. But they ended up worshiping man. Some of them have become themselves God. Some of them have made someone else God for them. So these are very, it's a very slippery ground. We need God's grace to help us be balanced, understand it, believe it, and stay balanced in the world. Amen. As we are calling the musicians, let God be with us. God help us. Amen. Amen.
I believe the good report. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Pass the outer court. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, Lord Jesus, on the altar sanctified. Oh, Lord, sin I die. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Touched me as we are looking forward to God's touch to change us and to bring something new in us. Let's just commit ourselves in God's hand and ask Him to touch and let something happen so that we'll not be the same. Amen.
He touched me. Oh, He touched me.
Time.
Amen, Lord. Heavenly Father.
Hallelujah.
We really need a touch from you, oh Lord.
Amen.
We need a touch from you in Amen. This dark age, oh Lord. While the powers of darkness are gathering together to crucify you for the second time, oh Lord.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, if you don't touch us, oh Lord, we'll end up with like Judas Iscariot, uniting ourselves with the powers of darkness, oh Lord, to put you on the cross for the second time, oh Lord. If we don't get that touch, oh Lord, we'll end up with those who ate manna, those who ate the bread, those who got healed, those who sang Hosanna to the Son of David. But some of them were there asking him to be crucified, oh Lord. Touch us, Heavenly Father. A touch from you is more than anything, oh Lord. You have opened your word to us today, oh Lord. We have seen the super sign, oh Lord, being manifested in this age to your bride, oh Lord. You didn't come to play a game, oh Lord. You didn't come to joke, Heavenly Father. You came to manifest the Son of Man so that your bride must be prepared, oh Lord, so that your bride must be clothed into that rapture garment, oh Lord, into that wedding garment, oh Lord. Help us, oh Lord, not to be negligent, Heavenly Father. Help us, oh Lord, to take our full position, oh Lord. Eat the word, oh Lord. Like Rebecca, let us feed the camels, oh Lord. Let us take care of the word. Let us become one with the word so that when you'll call, oh Lord, when you'll appear one of these days and you'll call us, no one will be left out, oh Lord. We pray, oh Lord. I pray for my brethren. I pray for this church, oh Lord. We love one another so much, oh Lord, that we don't want anyone to miss out, Amen. Oh Lord. Heavenly Father, we don't want when we'll be there and asking, where is sister so-and-so? Where is brother so-and-so? He missed out, oh Lord. Heavenly Father, you didn't come to reveal us these things so that we'll be counted with them, with the powers of darkness, oh Lord. We have the children of light, oh Lord. We are gathered in Goshen, oh Lord, where you have made provisions for the change of our body. Heavenly Father, bless your people. We have been sitting there, faithfully listening, oh Lord. Bless them, oh Lord. Bless those who were streaming far away, oh Lord. There's power in the blood. There's power in your word, oh Lord. Let this word transform us, oh Lord. Let this word that transformed Abraham, oh Lord, from a dead old man, that transformed Sarah from a dead old woman, oh Lord. We are living under the same ministry of the Son of Man. Bring us to that change, Heavenly Father. Help us, O Lord, to live beyond the sin of the world, to live beyond all the attractions of Laodicea, O Lord, and to be so one with you that when you'll call, you'll be attracted by your magnetizing power, O Lord. Dear Lord, be with us now as we dismiss. Let your hand, let your protecting hand lead us, oh Lord, and bring us back home. Bless our pastor who couldn't make it tonight, oh Lord. Give him more power. Give him more strength, oh Lord. Good inspiration to lead this church. Wisdom and everything he needs, oh Lord.
Amen.
Bless the ministry in this church, oh Lord. Help us to be at the service of your people, to display the full word to your people, oh Lord. Help us, we pray. Heavenly Father, be with us now as we dismiss. Those who are sick, heal them, oh Lord, because we know if we are claiming the rapturing faith, oh Lord, divine healing, body healing, is just something simple. And we believe in this rapturing faith, oh Lord, there's also divine healing in it, oh Lord. Heal the sick, oh Lord. Grant us our deepest need, oh Lord. Heavenly Father, we don't know what's going on in everyone's hearts, oh Lord. There are many unspoken needs, but you know them and provide for your children. We commit ourselves into your hand. Bless us as we dismiss. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.